The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
This is the NFL. If you don't come prepared, you don't give respect to you know who you're playing, you get beat. The goal is to win the Super Bowl.
Murray from his end zone.
Hit from behind. A pick six. What a disaster.
We fell short of that.
You gave your quarterback no shot.
That's the kind of loss that makes you question the entire offensive philosophy.
The drama in the desert.
You don't even understand what's got to happen in order to go forward.
Actions speak much louder than words. This volatile business.
Where do we go if we don't get this fixed with Kyler Murray?
We've had good conversations nonstop. He's part of our long-term plan.
All of our long-term goal here is to have Kyler be our quarterback.
And the drama continues with more Kyler Murray-related news today. We'll get to that with Adam Schefter in just seconds. Welcome to NFL Live, everybody. We got like a regular NFL Season Monday show here with Dan Orlovsky in studio. Glad to have you here, Dan, as well as the regular cast is about to be revealed right now. The big reveal, Marcus Spears, Mina Kimes, and of course, Adam Schefter, as I was saying. Let's get right to the news in Arizona. And Adam, I want to start with you here. Did Kyler Murray report to the team's voluntary OTAs today?
Lord, no. No Kyler Murray in Arizona for the start of the organized team activities. And I would imagine we will continue not to see Kyler Murray for any organized team activities. Now, the Cardinals coach Cliff Kingsbury said today that he does think that Kyler would show up for the mandatory mini camp, but I don't know about that. He's scheduled to make $5 million this year, and when you're seeing these contracts go around to these quarterbacks, where Kirk Cousins is getting an average of $35 million in Minnesota, and Derek Carr is getting an average of $40 million in Las Vegas, and Aaron Rodgers is over $50 million in Green Bay. I think Kyler Murray says it doesn't make sense to step foot on the football field when you're scheduled to make $5 million this year, when quarterback salaries now have escalated well above $40 million a year. Is it worth the risk to step on the football field when there's a $35 million difference annually? Probably not. And so they haven't made much progress on a new contract. And it certainly sounds like until there is a new contract, we may not see Kyler Murray in Arizona.
Yeah, and just for clarification here, too, as it says on your screen or just said, mandatory minicamp for the Cardinals starts June 14th. It's May, 23rd today, so something to keep an eye on there. Dan, is Kyler skipping these voluntary workouts that big a deal?
I think it's a huge deal, and the word that comes to mind is new, mainly because there's two new pass-catching options that he has in Arizona, one being Hollywood Brown, who they traded for, and then the tight end that they drafted in Trey McBride. And I know he has a prior relationship with Hollywood Brown, but this is going to be the first time that they're playing in this type of offense in the NFL. So those new weapons, he's got to really get accustomed to. And I think we all agree that with DeAndre Hopkins' suspension for at least the first third of the season, there's going to be a little bit of a new offense that they have to get used to, a new offense style and scheme philosophy-wise that Kyler's going to have to really understand that they're going to have to try and play. And for a season that I think has two relatively big and fair question marks attached to it are, number one, are they going to fix their late season schnides with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury and the head coach? And then two, is Kyler really going to finally prove that he is a different and more improved player than the one that entered the NFL?
Dio, I'm 100% with you. And I'm going to go, you talked about the guys that's available, but I think it's irresponsible for Kyler Murray not to show up. The last time we saw Kyler Murray on the field, it was abysmal. Him and Cliff Kingsbury need all the on-field activities that they can get in order to get going in the right direction. And you mentioned D-Hop as well. Kyler is going to have to make up for that because he has not. I want to show y'all who Kyler Murray is without DeAndre Hopkins in the lineup. Those ain't numbers that I told them to write down so I could look good. That's the reality of Kyler Murray without DeAndre Hopkins. And now you're starting a season without DeAndre Hopkins the first six games of the season. We've talked about your contract. We've lamented about why would you do this early? I'm not going to get into money because every guy I think that plays in the NFL deserves their money. I think the irresponsibility comes from the fact that Kyler Murray has to lead the Arizona Cardinals. And he's too young, in my opinion, of a quarterback not to partake in this based on what they are trying to do this season and how it has ended the previous 2 years of his career so far. I think it's very irresponsible for him not to be there.
You know, reminder that the Cardinals got off to the hottest start of any team in the NFL last season, but a lot of people wondered if it was sustainable, and certainly wasn't as sustainable, to your point, Marcus, without DeAndre Hopkins. But Mina, is there more pressure on Kyler this season or head coach Cliff Kingsbury?
Cliff, no question. I mean, I don't care that he is an extension and Kyler doesn't. One of these people is replaceable, and it's not the number one overall pick. Marcus put up Kyler's numbers with and without DeAndre Hopkins, and while he bears some of the responsibility for the lack of production, I would actually put more of it on Cliff Kingsbury and his inability to adapt this offense without Hopkins, frankly, with Hopkins in the lineup at times as well. Yeah, so now there's an immense amount of pressure on him to figure this out on the fly, and that job is, of course, made harder by the absence of his quarterback. And, you know, this adds another layer of drama, I think, to all of this, because we talk a lot about Kyler Murray and his relationship with the locker room. His relationship with Cliff Kingsbury, I think, will be the single most determining factor to whether the Cardinals can keep up this season, because they came into this league together arm in arm, and I'm not so clear as to what the status is right now.
Did I hear Swagoo say it's irresponsible of Kyler Murray to not be there during OTAs? Is that what you said, Swaggo?
Yeah.
Irresponsible, but how can it be irresponsible when it would be also irresponsible to step on a football field when you're making $5 million and quarterbacks are being paid $40 million and you're risking injury?
Shefty.
We talk about the business of the game
Shefty,
all the time.
Shefty, you have been covering the NFL longer than we've been alive almost. You know ain't nobody doing nothing in OTAs to get injured. Nothing. I was a part of ain't if D-line and offensive lineman in my 9 years in the NFL, outside of a guy that just wanted to go crazy running or doing something stupid, ain't nobody got injured in OTAs. And I get you. I understand the point of the money. I will not argue that. If Kyler Murray is sitting out for that, I got you. It's irresponsible from a football standpoint. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about on the field, Kyler Murray's rapport with his team that's going to be devoid of the best offensive player that they have and trying to assert himself as a quarterback that we all think he is. That's all.
And maybe there's some sort of compromise where he is there, and I know it's not exactly strenuous activities, but he's making sure that he's not taking part in anything extra strenuous. So that he's there, but he's not doing much, and he's there to learn and to bond and connect and to form those relationships, show good faith, but it doesn't seem like there's a lot of good faith between these two sides right now.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, the optics of this story, I think, are what's been fascinating through all of it. Dan's itching to talk more about this. The good thing is, Dan, he's not at OTAs. There's probably a lot more that's going to come out of it. OTAs are in full swing right now. So, Adam, give us three things to watch for this week. Let's start in San Francisco.
Yeah, listen, we got Trey Lance taking all the reps with the 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo not there, recovering from shoulder surgery. And it's time for Trey Lance to learn and grow. And he still has a ways to go. And we've heard how talented he is and how explosive he can be as the quarterback. But there's a lot for Trey Lance to still learn here. And the process is officially underway. The Browns start their voluntary OTAs tomorrow. And Baker Mayfield will not be in attendance. No surprise there. The Browns are moving forward with Deshaun Watson and Jacoby Brissett and Josh Dobbs. And Baker Mayfield also is moving forward, still hoping to be traded and still hoping to find a new home. And so the stalemate between the two sides continues. And the Rams OTAs, Aaron Donald is not there today. Now, it may just be that he's celebrating his 31st birthday and not attending in that regard. But it also could be that they continue to try to work out a new contract. Now, all signs continue to point to Aaron Donald playing this season. There was some speculation and discussion about him retiring at the Super Bowl. Again, it sounds like he wants to play, plans to play, but as is usual, there still is the issue of working out a contract extension that the Rams would like to get done, but they're not there yet.
Adam, do you usually work on your birthday?
I usually do, yes.
Yeah, so do I. All right, we're just getting started on NFL Live with
this?
Trey Lance getting all of the first-team reps at 49ers OTAs. We get a look at what this offense could look like with the second-year QB at the helm. See why Mina thinks George Kittle could be the main beneficiary of a QB change in San Fran. And all rise for Judge Marcus. The court is back in session as we determine which QB is under the most pressure this season. Dan thinks it's someone who led his team to the playoffs last season.
Wow.
See who that's going to be next. NFL Live is brought to you by Hulu. Celebrate National Streaming Day. Go to Hulu.com today.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We saw Trey at North Dakota State under center.
This guy is electric.
The San Francisco 49ers select Trey Lance.
I want to be a leader for these guys.
Do they think that Trey Lance can develop without playing?
It's time for the 49ers to go all in on him.
You got to go against what's safe and go for what can be big.
He's just got that makeup that the great ones do. He's going to get his chance to go show that.
I'm the man. Yeah, he's mad. I'm the man. That's the boys.
So here's the thing on Trey Lance. He needs as much experience as he can get, right? Reminder, the 49ers traded up in 2021's draft to get him at 3. So regardless of what happens with Jimmy G, they're motivated to develop Lance. Tight end George Kittle likes what he sees so far.
But that Trey took a bunch of steps forward. And for Trey to become a really good quarterback in the NFL, he needs reps. And so once this kid gets a lot of reps, just watch out, because some of the things I've seen him do in practice kind of mind-boggling me. So I'm waiting for it.
Okay, I'm listening. Mina, how dynamic a pairing could Lance and George Kittle be?
Well, I think it could be extremely exciting because of the unique traits that Lance brings to the table. First and foremost of which is, of course, his versatility, which is also George Kittle's calling card. It's a big part of the reason why he's the most dominant threat in the NFL off of play action, leads the league in yards per route run, which counts for productivity off of play fakes over the last 4 years. Some of that is scheme, but a lot of it is because of his dominance as a blocker. Lance brings that similar ability to sow confusion in the minds of second-level defenders. So I expect to see a lot more of that. What's going to be different, Laura, and what really intrigues me is what Trey Lance brings as a playmaker. We have not really seen George Kittle play with that type of quarterback where, think of Kansas City, how many times have we seen the play break down, Travis Kelce finds a way to get open because of his connection with Patrick Mahomes. If they can approximate anything close to that, and I think Kittle, of course, has that ability, this offense is going to be really scary.
Again, Trey Lance taking first-team reps at OTAs makes sense. And Lance only made 2 starts last season as he sat behind Jimmy G. Lance is the first QB drafted in the top 5 to make 2 or fewer starts in his rookie season since Jamarcus Russell in 2007. However, Phillip Rivers, Carson Palmer, Mike Vick, Steve McNair all went on to have highly successful careers after being drafted in the top 5 and waiting a season or 2 before becoming a starter. So, Dan, how important is this week for Lance where he is getting those first-team reps?
Yeah, it's massive. You heard it a little bit in George Kittle's sound. I'd say the 2 most important things for a young quarterback in the NFL is who's around you, meaning coaching and players, the support that you have, but also getting on the field and learning on the fly and seeing stuff. If you just watched last year's 2 starts for Trey Lance, it's a perfect glimpse into the future. I think week 5 against Houston and week 17 against the Cardinals. If you see the performance in the first half, it is frantic, inaccurate, and forced, right? 10, his QBR was 10. He threw 2 interceptions in the first half of those games combined.
Then in the second half, the QBR jumps to 52. He throws two touchdowns and no interceptions. He looks so much more settled, so much more accurate, so much more deliberate and in control of his game. Those, that, to me, like, that's just a small glimpse of what the player is going to do with more reps. I'll remind everybody at home, he had the least amount of college snaps in the last 40 years for a quarterback that was drafted in the first round. So he needs to get on the field, and I think that you look at it and go, when he does, you probably agree with George Kittle. He's got a lot of special talent-wise.
Y'all, three things, because this is why I love being back with my people, because y'all brought something to my mind, you and Mina, Dan, okay? The one thing is, think about the confidence Trey Lance is going to have from that endorsement from Kittle. Sure. That's number one. That's going to help a young quarterback going into the season. Number two, it reminds me of explosiveness from the quarterback position that they had with Colin Kaepernick. Now, I know it's a different regime, and that was Greg Roman, but it did offer another element that defenses, to your point, Dan, had to prepare for, even if it wasn't going to be a part of the scheme. And the other thing is this, y'all. Like, let's deal in reality, because I don't want this to look like I'm dunking on Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo threw for 3,800 yards, 20 touchdowns, and 12 picks last year.
Yeah.
All right? Trey Lance needs to be a notch or two above that. And this team last year with Jimmy Garoppolo's numbers was in the NFC Championship.
Yeah.
All right? Let's just think about that for a second. So when we were all going crazy at the draft with Trey Lance and trying to figure out if they would draft Mac Jones or Trey Lance, we are at that line of demarcation now to determine if Trey Lance can be a notch above Jimmy Garoppolo, playing quarterback from the pocket, but also offering an athletic element that people are in a run game, people already can't stop.
And Marcus, I think it's important for people to understand, Trey Lance may get there, and he may be better than Jimmy Garoppolo was last year when he played better than I think a lot of people realize if you watch and listen to the people who watch the tape of him. But it's going to take him a long time to get there. Like Dan was saying, he didn't play for a year. He came out inexperienced, didn't play a lot last year. There's a lot that Trey Lance has to learn before he becomes the really good quarterback he has the chance to be. But it's going to take time. And I think for people to expect him to step in and to light it up right away, I think might be a little bit ambitious based on his experiences. It'd be great to see if he can. But again, I think people are losing sight of how well Jimmy Garoppolo played last year and how far Trey Lance still has to go before he can be the type of quarterback that people envisioned.
You know what would make it easier on Trey Lance is if Deebo Samuel was there. Where do we stand with that? Did he show up today,
Oh,
Adam?
Yes, Lord. Please.
But no, he's not there for the start of OTAs. Now, the good part is it certainly seems like things have cooled down and teams made calls to the 49ers during the draft. Nothing materialized in terms of the trade that Deebo Samuel wanted. And so as long as there was no trade partner then, it's hard to imagine the 49ers trading him now. So then Deebo would have to make a decision about whether or not he'd be willing to show to mandatory minicamp, to training camp, where all of a sudden now you're risking mandatory fines, loss of accrued seasons towards free agency. The stakes become greater the more he stays away.
All right, we got a lot more to get to here today on NFL Live. And coming up, the AFC West looks like it could be the best division in the NFL, but only one team can come out on top, and Judge Marcus is to listen to the arguments for each. We're going to the courtroom next on NFL Live. Do not miss this. We're back on NFL Live, and all rise. The Honorable Marcus Spears is now presiding over all NFL issues here on NFL Live. And boy, do we have some big-time cases for you as we get you ready to go. We've also got our bailiff here in case things get really bonkers. That's Chris over there. Wait, did you say your name was Chris? Okay, I thought I forgot it for a second. Anyway, I should know his name. The first case, guys, involves the question, which NFL quarterback is under the most pressure this season? Mina Kimes, take the floor. Who is it?
Sure. Yes. Well, Your Honor, first I'd like to say you're looking particularly distinguished today. Just wanted to put that information out there. The pick, it has to be Tua Tagovailoa. I don't see how there's any other answer. The Miami Dolphins have basically devoted their entire offseason to putting him into a position to succeed, training for one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, signing one of the best left tackles in the NFL, adding a slew of running backs, then, of course, an offensive-minded head coach. They're doing all of that while also making it clear that if he doesn't succeed, if he doesn't win the season, they will move on. Not just because they were, of course, linked to Deshaun Watson for some time now, but they've retained those two first rounders. And I'll tell you this, if Tua doesn't flourish this year, he might not get another chance in Miami.
Oof. I can appreciate your argument, but one of us went to a distinguished law school and one of us didn't. Your Honor, I think you always look amazing. You look svelte and clean. My answer is going to be Dakota Rain Prescott.
Objection. Oh, sorry.
Number one.
Sustained.
Nope. I have my opportunity. Number one, $40 million salary. That is sixth in the NFL, tied with a guy who just won the Super Bowl last year, and Matthew Stafford. Falls just behind, nope, not a wide receiver for the Dolphins. Falls just behind Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Derek Carr. Dak Prescott in the regular season is a really good player. Because 67% completion percentage, a passer rating of 98, 8 yards per attempt, 3-1 touchdown interception ratio. In the postseason, that 67 goes to 60%. That passer rating goes from 98 to 87. That 8.7 yards per attempt goes down to 7, and there's only a 2-1 touchdown to interception ratio. No quarterback under pressure this year more than Dak Prescott.
Okay, Your Honor, Swagoo, make your ruling.
Yes, first and foremost, compliments have no place in this courtroom.
Oh.
I don't give a damn if y'all give me a compliment as a judge. Okay? The second thing is the lady from California, Mina Kimes, you win this case. Okay?
Whoa.
Because
yes.
Rain Dakota Let's Prescott go. In my courtroom will never be talked about in the manner that the gentleman from Connecticut talked about him by the name of Dan Orlovsky.
So
I have
you,
to agree
oh,
with
you
the
judge?
Lady from California. Tua, he's so, fighting for his job.
Orlovsky.
Dak
Orlovsky.
Already has a job making $40 million a year.
Orlovsky.
And you do not stop a judge
there you
from
go.
Speaking,
There you
sir.
Go. One
I will
of these quarterbacks
you
might
removed.
Not. Yeah.
Evidence doesn't matter. You,
hey.
You rule on bias, not evidence.
Orlovsky, quiet in the courtroom.
I rule.
Quiet in the courtroom. We need order.
So
We're
salty.
Moving on. The next case involves teams
order.
In the AFC West. Where's your gavel? You don't even need one. After each team in the division made significant moves this offseason, it's no surprise that ESPN's Football Power Index projects an extremely close race. The Chargers are the slight favorite, followed by Russell Wilson and the Broncos. Right behind both teams is the Chiefs, who have won the division in each of the last 6 seasons. So we're going to give this Orlovsky guy, who's been a bit unruly so far, the first chance here. State your case to the Honorable Marcus Spears that the best team in the AFC West.
Have respect for this court, sir.
The best team in the AFC West is similar to the judge's beard. It's perfection.
Ooh.
That's the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
The Denver Broncos have a defense that has 2 elite pass rushers. Defensive linemen are the most important position in all of football. Both edge rushers can get after the quarterback. They have 5 guys in the secondary. No secondary is good unless the defensive linemen, who are the most important position in football, play well. They got 5 guys that can cover that are really good in their roles. And then they got an offense that has now added Russell Wilson. Diverse in scheme. An offensive line that is going to be better because of him. And head coach that comes over from being one of the best offensive minds in football, Nathaniel Hackett. They've got a diverse skill position group. The Denver Broncos can play whatever style of game that you need them to play. And they've added a Hall of Fame worthy quarterback. But he's still not as important as a defensive lineman.
Nathaniel Hackett is one of the best offensive minds in football. Matt LaFleur called the plays, Dan. I mean, the Broncos are exciting. Don't get me wrong. I'm very enthusiastic about their prospects, but they've got 2 first-time coordinators and a first-time head coach. Meanwhile, in Kansas City, there is continuity. The brain trust is in place. Last year, we were endlessly worrying about Patrick Mahomes, and yes, he had his ups and downs, but that offense still finished first in expected points added per play. I expect him to bounce back in a big way this year because of the mental side of his development based off of last year. Yes, losing Tyreek Hill hurts, but I actually love the wide receiver group they put together with Juju Smith-Schuster, MVS, and then, of course, Sky Moore, who they picked up in the draft. I think it's going to allow them to play those 2 high shells better than they did last season, frankly. Then on defense, this is a defense that was up and down last season. They now have a true edge rushing threat opposite Frank Clark and George Karlaftis. I like what they did with their secondary. And most importantly, I'll go back to this. They have continuity. Steve Spagnuolo is still there. Andy Reid is still there. Patrick Mahomes is still there. And that's why they will still be atop the division.
All right, so here we go. We're going to get our ruling here from the Honorable Judge Swagoo. You can either choose Mr. Orlovsky and the Broncos or Ms. Kimes and the Chiefs. What do you go with? Best team in the AFC West.
Slam my gavel. First of all, that is why, and let the court speak, that is why you two are mere lawyers, and I've been deemed NFL Live federal court judge, because it's the Los Angeles Chargers. Have you all been paying attention to what they've been doing this offseason? Okay, Khalil Mack comes over as Dan wants to try to give me love talking about the defensive line. What about that defensive line? That signed Sebastian Joseph Day as well, with Bosa on the other side, Derwin James, Asante Samuel Jr., and not to mention they signed J.C. Jackson, who had 8 interceptions last year for the New England Patriots. On the other side of the ball, I hear y'all talk about Justin Herbert all the time. Y'all don't love him anymore.
Man, give
it's
me
the
judge
Los Angeles
Duty.
Chargers. That's why I'm the judge. Man, y'all the lawyers.
Man, give me Judge Duty. We didn't ask you for your opinion.
Can a judge do that? Is that legal?
I think we went a little
rogue
here.
You're in my court.
Reality, right.
You're in my courtroom.
When you own the courtroom and when it's your prerogative, you can do whatever you want. Hey, is there a wig? Because someone told us that Swagoo had a wig. You don't have a wig that you were going to put on. You decided to go against that.
I don't have one, Boogie. This was serious business.
Oh, I'm
and
sorry.
I wanted people to
I'm
see
sorry.
The sweat
I'm sorry
trickle
to
on my head.
Listen, I'm sorry serious. To not take this
Marcus,
seriously.
Have you ever been in a real courtroom?
No comment.
I was going to let that one linger and breathe. It was a little awkward there. All right, listen, thanks so much to our bailiff, Chris, for joining us here. I felt like things got testy, but we didn't have to go to you. And we've got a lot more coming your way on NFL Live. Marcus, we have a very special edition of Big Man Ball, and you're going to rip off that judge outfit and tell us what's coming next.
Oh, it's about to go up, y'all. It's an off-season BMB edition. We got some special BMB today because it's a special day for some people out there. Oh. I will let y'all know when we get back.
Off.
Look at that man. Nobody ever thought he'd grow up to be the monster he is. But that's exactly what he is. I'm gonna be more hyped today. We got a B&B, a special edition.
It's the best segment on television.
Go ahead and get this thing popping. Let me introduce y'all to the big fellas that made plays on Sunday. Best of luck to you. Chop the hand down. Throw him. Look at him.
Heavy pass.
Marcus Fields Jr. with the rim club. Go get the quarterback. Pull us up on the camera. Get up. This dude understanding the pass rush is already pro ready. Big Man B-Ball.
It's a birthday edition of Big Man Ballin'. Marcus, who you got?
I got my man Aaron Donald 99. Happy birthday, brother. And I'm going to do a special edition. You are one of the few players that can get a BMB in the offseason. But let's get it popping. Happy B-Day. First and foremost, this is not really birthday-ish because you're destroying people's children. But I'm going to put it on here anyway. The Arizona Cardinals guard, he has no recollection of how this took place. This is not technique. This is not prior preparation. This is just poor performance because you're playing against the greatest defensive tackle to ever play in the NFL. Fail. Secondly, when you talk about Aaron Donald, you talk about closing. And I love to see him close in critical moments. Look at him beat the pass rush and get the Jimmy Garoppolo and force an interception. Yes, he forced the interception playing defensive tackle. That's what you do, AD. It's your birthday, so we showing love. You gave your guy a birthday present by forcing Jimmy Garoppolo to throw one. And the ultimate birthday gift you gave to the Los Angeles Rams. So now it's time for NFL Live and BMB to give it back to you. If you don't make this play, the game is won by the Cincinnati Bengals. But because Aaron Donald is on the defensive line and he said, my birthday gonna be here in May, I don't want to be sad for it. So let's go ahead and win the damn Super Bowl. I'm gonna break through the offensive line and force Joe Burrow to get down on the ground and make a mistake and be the most important player in this game. Because if Dan told y'all, it would have been Matthew Stafford. Aaron Donald, happy birthday. You get a special BMB because your birthday, and you always close in game.
Dan got so mad. Dan was with you right until that very end Matthew Stafford comment. Like, he was all smiling, and all of a sudden he's like...
It's because I miss you, bro. I love you. It's because I miss you. You know, I got to mess with you.
I miss you, guys, too. We should have a birthday party for Aaron Donald just to, like, celebrate with each other.
Real quick. I agree with that. Real quick. Okay. Are we thumbs up or thumbs down on birthday cake?
I love birthday cake. Two thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
And my toes.
But who's strictly, thumbs down?
Dan.
Well, only if it's ice cream cake, because normal cake is gross.
Wait, really fast. True story. And you guys witnessed
slide
this.
Slide off the camera.
There was an ice cream
slide
cake that ended up here. And Dan, I honestly have never seen Dan eat more than that day when he ate all that ice cream cake.
Remember
that day?
Cake made
ice
business.
Cream cake is phenomenal, but it...
Mr. Beachbody.
It shouldn't be the only cake.
Beach season waits for no one. Okay, to New England next, where it's not beach season. Matt Patricia will work with the offensive line, while Joe Judge will work with second-year quarterback Mac Jones. One thing, though, still undecided. Who's going to call the plays? Bill Belichick was asked about that this morning.
We have titles. Yeah, look, there's a lot of jobs that we have to do. We're all working on those things now. It's May. They'll change in June. They'll change in August. They'll change in September. So, evolve it, do the things timely that we need to do. I mean, if you're asking about game plans, we're like months away from that. Months. What plays are we calling? Well, mini camp plays?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
Little smirk there. So who is calling mini camp plays is exactly the information we need to know. ESPN Patriots reporter Mike Reese was at practice today in Foxborough. Mike, what did you learn?
Laura, there's no doubt about it. Maybe the biggest question surrounding the Patriots, who's going to lead this offense? And here's what we learned today on these two practice fields behind me. Bill Belichick has been very much involved with the offense this spring. The final 11-on-11 drill, I watched him look down at the play sheet, relay some information to quarterback Mac Jones, and then Mac Jones relayed that information to his teammates, and they ran the play. Wide receiver Kendrick Bourne acknowledged after practice that Belichick has been spending more time with the offense. He said that's because Belichick wants to make sure things get done the way he wants them done.
Okay, so that's interesting. Belichick really involved in all of this. Smoke screens all over the place with these Patriots right now in their offense. Dan, does that news, which you just heard Mike reporting about what's actually going on there, surprise you?
Yeah, because the Patriots have always, at least under Bill Belichick, had the advantage at play caller. It has been a strength of theirs. They would go into games and you go, well, we like the fact that their play caller is going to get it together better than the others. And I just don't see this situation. Candidly, the only thing that my mind goes to is they are preparing for Brian Hoyer, one of their longtime backup quarterbacks who was a starter for some times in this league, to be a coach in waiting for them in the future. Oh. That's the only thing that makes sense to me, because I can't fathom that the greatest coach of all time and one of the greatest minds of all time is going to entrust a season when their owner said, I'm upset we haven't won a playoff game in 3 years, and a second-year first-round quarterback to coaches who have never done it before. And the last point I'll make is this. There's a very big difference between designing a game plan and calling plays. Okay, designing a game plan is very scientific. It is observable. You can repeat. It is the defense runs this. These are the type of plays we can run, and you have time to think about it. Play calling is feel. It is art. It is instantaneous adjustment, and you have 8 seconds to get it right. Mm-hmm. Those are totally different worlds when it comes to being able to do that job.
I mean, I feel your concern, especially as it pertains to Mac Jones' development, but also Patriots gonna Patriot. I mean, we saw them do this with their defensive coaches for years, dating back to when everyone, you know, knew Brian Flores was the play caller, but they never made him the coordinator. And then Bill Belichick's son was the coordinator, but they never announced him. They kind of treat their depth chart like those ballpark games with the hats where you can't tell where the baseball is. And I feel like they're doing the same thing with their offense. Like, this seems to me to be more about subterfuge than anything. You guess Brian Hoyer is the play caller of the future. Brian Hoyer, pardon me, is going to be the future coach. Just judging by what we've heard, judging be the operative word, Joe Judge, who is working with Mac Jones, to me seems most likely to call plays in the regular season.
But is that not concerning? Well, I mean, he's the guy who called quarterback sneak on third and eight last year.
It's what they do.
But
It is interesting, and here's just to
losing Josh McDaniels will hurt.
Very concerning, and to put that in context, it's the first season that the Patriots don't have Josh McDaniels as their offensive coordinator since 2011. Mac Jones was 13 years old at that time. What a long time. Coming up on NFL Live, we'll take a look at the Browns' defense. With the return of Jadeveon Clowney, how does their defense stack up in a tough division? Marcus will explain why he is a championship piece. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll have game four of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Heat and Celtics tonight at 8:30 Eastern on ABC and the app, with the Heat up 2-1. The Countdown crew gets things started at 8 Eastern. Let's talk Cleveland here on NFL Live. The Browns have solidified another piece of their defense. Adam, tell us more.
Well, the Cleveland Browns have gotten another deal done with Jadeveon Clowney, the master of the one-year deal, Laura. And he goes back and he will play opposite Myles Garrett again, and to give the Browns the type of pass rush that they want to have on defense. And so with all the changes that this franchise has been through this offseason, they're staying the same along the front line, bringing back Jadeveon Clowney on a one-year contract.
Yeah, as you said, Adam, master of those one-year deals. Surprising considering where he was drafted. But either way, Clowney ranked fourth in the NFL in pass rush win rate last season, beating his blocker within 2.5 seconds more than 24% of the time. First on the list is Clowney's teammate, Myles Garrett. Clowney had 9 sacks last season after having only 3 sacks in the previous 2 seasons combined. It helps when Myles Garrett's on the other side. Marcus, why was this an important move for the Browns, though?
You just made the perfect point, Boogie, when you talked about having Myles Garrett on the other side. And y'all know I say this a bunch, is that defensive lines operate a lot like basketball teams. Mm-hmm. And one matchup affects the other. And when you have Myles Garrett opposite, Jadeveon Clowney with his athletic ability, his ability to get after the passer, and not only get sacks, but create pressure as well. Because I think that's something about his game that people don't talk about enough. And he's a physical force in the run game. This is a championship piece. Yeah. You're not asking him to be the greatest, but he complements Myles Garrett as well as anybody.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Marcus. And frankly, I was a little bit concerned about this pass rush before this signing because there's not a lot of depth there. And while I really like this defense and I really appreciate how much they improved over the course of last season, a lot of that had to do with injuries and players coming back into the lineup. When you go look at the depth chart, it's not deep. Like, they do have superstars at every level. I think Owusu-Koramoah is a rising star. The secondary, of course, we know Denzel Ward, who just got paid, is one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. And, of course, you got, you know, Garrett and Clowney up front. But behind them, not a lot of starters. And the interior defensive line is extremely young. So while I do believe they're championship caliber, I also believe they cannot afford many injuries if they want to compete at that level.
So that's the Browns' defense. What about the Browns' offense, where quarterback Deshaun Watson had the Cleveland offense in the Bahamas at the end of last week? There you see them all there hanging out on the beach. And that's how the week ended for Watson. But it started with meetings between him and the NFL investigators. Adam Schefter, what do we know about those meetings?
Laura, the meetings went on last week, and they occurred over not one, not two, but at least 3 days. There were multiple meetings between Deshaun Watson and the NFL investigators. And my understanding is there were more meetings with him than there have been with any player being considered for discipline under the NFL's personal conduct policy. You don't ordinarily see multiple days of meetings with NFL investigators the way this occurred last week. And obviously the NFL has seen that there were no criminal charges, that there are still 22 outstanding civil complaints about sexual harassment, and the league is trying to figure out the right and proper way to handle this particular case. But it spent the good part of last week meeting personally, face-to-face with Deshaun Watson, after meeting with some of the women that have accused him of the harassment, to try to figure out what's right and what's not.
Yeah, we'll continue to keep an eye on that as we find out when we would see Deshaun Watson on the field. And Baker Mayfield is also still on the Browns roster as OTAs open tomorrow. Adam, what's the latest on Baker and the Browns situation?
He will not be reporting to OTAs tomorrow, Laura. They are voluntary organized team activities, but the fact of the matter is Baker Mayfield and the Browns both are hoping to have an amicable separation here where he gets traded somewhere else. And the Browns continue to hold on to him with the hopes that they'll get something back in return. Baker Mayfield would like to get a fresh start somewhere else as soon as possible, but this already is lingering into the Memorial Day holiday weekend, and there's no telling how much longer it will go on, but there doesn't seem to be a solution in sight at this time. But clearly, the Browns have gone in another direction. Baker Mayfield wants to go in another direction, but right now, both sides are stuck with each other, and Baker will not be there on Tuesday.
Yeah, a reminder, Jacoby Brissett, the backup, as well as Josh Dobbs on that Browns roster. But, Dan, whenever Watson does end up getting out on the field, as Adam just said, they're still waiting on this NFL investigation, still a lot to be determined. But let's talk about when he does end up on the field. Yeah. He's going to be joining a unit that has relied heavily on the run game. You think about those running backs in that Browns offense. How much does that change when Watson is under center?
None. Yeah. The scheme has always been the star in these offenses, these Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak, Kyle Shanahan offenses. It's always been a scheme that elevates the players. Now, when you have a player like Deshaun Watson that elevates schemes, that's when your offense has a chance to be really special, and we have seen that in the history of the NFL. I think the biggest way that he really changes this offense is you are not going to know where he's going to be throwing the ball from. And Marcus can speak to this way better than me as a defensive lineman, but we hear that phrase launch point all the time, and this is an offense that moves the quarterback in where he throws the ball from as a starting point. But now when you have a guy that not only athletically is capable of doing it, but then athletically is capable of making the really difficult throws in that chunk pass game, you, if you're Kevin Stefanski, you can literally design any pass game you want, and you can build it into a run game fake, and you can go, Deshaun, we'll be behind the center, or the left guard, or the right tackle. We can get you outside the left tackle all the way to the sideline to sideline. You couldn't do that with Baker. I think that's the biggest difference that he will bring to this offense is defenses and defensive linemen will have no idea where the actual launch point for the quarterback should be.
D.O., that's the, I mean, perfect point, bro. You can't get any more right because this offense is already good in the run game. They were good with a quarterback who we all, y'all know how I feel about Baker Mayfield. But then, too, you talk about launch point, but you also extension of plays.
Yeah.
And I look at, when you look at Cleveland, and a lot of times I saw Baker Mayfield get ran down and he was under pressure and didn't have that athletic ability to make a strong throw in certain situations. You don't have to worry about that anymore. And then, too, y'all, I'm going to just put it, I think Njoku is going to have a huge year when it comes strictly from Deshaun Watson being there and that play action taking advantage and him having that ability to extend plays.
All right, guys.
It's gonna be scary.
We got time for one more thing before we go here today on NFL Live. You may have seen this photo of Justin Herbert, who is 24 years old and looking incredibly swole. I kind of feel bad for the guy next to him in the Todd's jersey. Look how big this dude is. We saw Justin Herbert at the Pro Bowl. We thought the same thing. So then we decided we would find Dan Orlovsky at that same age with the Lions.
What?
Dan, you look about the same size. It's slightly
what the hell
smaller,
is on your chin?
But similar size.
I'm less concerned about the size and more concerned about what was growing on your chin, Dan.
I thought it was a bruise.
Is that a mold or something?
What is that?
If I use the middle finger, I would use it now, but I don't.
We're all gonna hear about Fudge after this.
How
show.
Did any person find me remotely attractive in that moment?
I don't know. Did anyone? Were you married then? No.
I was about to be married.
God bless you,
Tiffany. Tiffany is an amazing woman. She is
and
an incredible woman.
You're amazing.
And you outkicked your coverage big time. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL. Nice.